Well, good morning. What an interesting week. Everybody in the free world at Candlewood, at least, is sick. And the unusual thing is my family members are sick in other states. Haven't figured out how that works out, but that's what's been going on. Number of people here are sick. I want to thank you all for coming in this morning and sharing it with me and the other folks that are here. And a number have stayed home in their pajamas, and those people will go nameless. Okay, let's do three guesses. Who do you think it is? No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. Okay. Point of the matter is, it's very interesting that I would start this way and talk about the fact you noticed all around you in this life there's tests. There's tests for all kinds of stuff. There's blood tests, medically, x-rays, all of those kind of things. How'd you do on the test with the doctor? All of that conversation. We've all come through schools where there's things like midterm grades or progress reports. Thank you, teachers, for all those wonderful warm words said about me all through my educational time. There's quarterly reports in business, and they issue profit and loss and et cetera and et cetera. And if you've been paying a little bit of attention this summer, we have, you can follow me if you'd like, we have been hitting some different themes and have been putting them on the walls to help with your focus for the summer. Let me stop right there. Let me do this for just a moment. I want you to capture this. I know you're visiting again, Josh. That's great to have you here, but I don't usually walk around like this, okay? Let it go. Okay, you know, when you came to believe in Jesus Christ, when you honestly came to that place and realized that you needed to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to attain heaven, change your life here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When you came to that point, everything changed because, I don't know about you, but when I prayed that prayer and received Jesus, darn, I got up off my knees. And I didn't go anywhere. Darn. He didn't take me off the earth. Oh, come on. I thought I was going to pray that prayer and he was going to take me to heaven to be with him. And I'm stuck here with you people. All right, well, that's how I felt. Point of the matter is this. You got it. You were never meant to pray that prayer and leave immediately. You were meant to pray that prayer and stay. And in staying, you were to have all kinds of new motivations, all kinds of new things to live for, all kinds of new things to do. And by the way, you were put on a mission for Him. So it's not about your job. It's not about your career. It's not about your retirement stuff. It's not about the land that you own. It's not about, it's not about, it's not about. It's about the mission you've been put on for Jesus Christ. So hold on to that. With that thinking, we have taken the summer and we have gone to different things as far as themes that we wanted you to get to evaluate how well am I doing on that mission that Jesus has put me on. So, we talked here about our focus, about the fact that God communicates with us through Christ, that Christ is the heir of all things, that Christ is God. Well, it sounds so simple, but most of the people out there don't believe this stuff, that Christ is the sustainer of all, including me. That Christ is salvation. We came over here, we heard this over the past few weeks, that I've got an obligation to get closer to God. I even got a little East Coast cynical in there and said, you be the one to move, because He's never moved. Get involved, get focused, get together. And we've got about two more weeks left of this refining theme of where I say I live for Christ, but I need to think about, do I really? Because here's how it is for me. You want honesty? Here's honesty. Honesty is I am just sold out for Jesus. I am living for Christ. I am seeking to represent Him. And, oh, they released a new movie? Cool, I got to go see that. That's the greatest thing I've ever seen. I get so easily distracted. I'm walking down the path and I'm following Jesus Christ. And my retirement guy calls. He's managing 25 of my dollars, okay? And my retirement guy calls and wants to talk to me, and I go like this. Okay, and now I'm distracted, and now I'm stuck there for days and weeks at a time. Get the idea? It's so easy. I got a new car. A new car. That's great. I hope it doesn't age. And there's so many things along the way, and that doesn't even go to the personal stuff. My wife said, what? She really thinks I'm not burly? Inside joke for a lot of people. Hurt my heart a few weeks ago when she said it too. Always thought I worked out and stayed in shape. And she said, that guy's burly. I said, I'm kind of burly. She laughed at me. She said, no, you're not burly. Not getting over it. Okay, so back to where we're at here. So as we go through the summer review process, we're trying to see what needs to be adjusted so that we can live for Jesus Christ. And am I being effective at doing that? That's why we're doing what we're doing for the next couple of weeks, for you to help refine your focus for Christ. So let me start reading the scripture for us this morning. It's in Acts chapter 8. I'm going to start off with verse 4. I want you to see Philip, a co-worker of Stephen. A co-worker of Stephen who by this time in Acts had been whacked. Which is a great East Coast term, which means what? Killed. Okay, good, you got that. He was put out of his misery. So here we go. For Christ. Put that in the back of your mind. Let me read. Acts chapter 4, 8, verse 4. Here it is. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. I don't know how you read the scripture, but what? What do you mean scattered? I've never been scattered. I mean, I always go home at night. That's not scattered. Now those who were scattered, let me turn back to the beginning of the chapter. You don't have it. Let me read it for you. And by the way, the first part of chapter 8 says this. Right after Stephen had been killed, martyred, and Saul approved of his execution. Remember how vicious this guy is, who's going to become the majority writer of the New Testament, who God's going to use magnificently to get the message to the Gentiles, of which we are. All right, put that in the back of your mind for a minute. Let me go on here. And Saul approved of his execution, and there arose on that day a great persecution against who? The church, the people that believed in Jesus in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered. Why? They ran for their lives. They ran for their families. They had kids. They said, if we stay here, they're going to lock us all up and they're going to kill us all. So they ran for safety. God's method for getting the word out, but I'm not going to say that right now. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles, who stayed home in Jerusalem, which is amazing. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But listen to this. But Saul was ravaging the church. Love that word. Ravaging the church. And he entered house after house. And he dragged off men and women. You know what that means? Daddies and mommies got yanked out and he committed them to prison. That's horrible. We know that people were dying. Stephen got publicly killed. Now, with that as a background, we get to the text here. And those who were scattered went about preaching the word. They didn't stop the imperative that Jesus called them to. And here we go. See if you can pick out Philip's motivations as I read this scripture. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in the city. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him. Why? Because he did magic tricks. I love magic tricks. They get my attention too. Apparently this city was listening to him. They all paid attention to him from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip, and seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Hey, let's pray, and let's dive into this for a few minutes. There's some great challenges here that help me reorient my priorities to truly serving Christ where I am every single day. Let's pray. Father, we look to your word right now, not to Mike or any of those kind of things, but Father, your word and your Holy Spirit to teach us, to challenge us, to reset us where need be, that we might truly be that accurate representation of Jesus Christ, where you've placed us strategically, and how we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philip was a Greek Jew. In the writings you say a Hellenistic Jew. And he went down to Samaria. And both the Samaritan people and the Hellenistic Jews were rejected by the Hebraic Jews in Jerusalem. Put that in the back of your mind. The Samaritan culture was just like ours. They were trying to make things happen for themselves. They were looking for the latest and the greatest teacher. Who's going to be on TV this week to give me the latest way to live my life? And they were very prone, according to the history books, to sorcery, to the black arts, and black magic, and et cetera, and et cetera. Obviously, we're talking about demonic influence here. But they wanted those shortcuts, but you'll see here there's an incredible result. When Philip preaches to them, the Holy Spirit opens up this whole marketplace. The results were fantastic as people believed and listened and were converted. Now, God did a dramatic work through Philip. Philip, we kind of think, left his family. Philip was one of those people scattered into a region they didn't know well. But he knew that he could go there and get away from the persecution of Samaria. And while there, he's going to preach the gospel and represent Christ. So watch, on your notes right now. I'm going to give you three things you need to notice here. And the first one is this, and I put it in the form of a question. It's this: do I proclaim Christ? Do I proclaim the Messiah? Look in verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. The one little key you need to know about the Samaritan people is this. They believed most of the Old Testament, and they too were looking for a Savior, a political Savior, an economic Savior, a Savior that would come and fix their country. They were just like the Jews like that. And so here comes Philip, and he comes in and talks about this divine personality, Jesus Christ, and what he did. And you'll notice the word that's used here is the word proclaim. You see it in the verse? By the way, commercial time. That word proclaim means to preach and to teach and etc. Let me tell you this. You come out to HD study in a couple weeks when that starts. It's going to run every other week. Gospel of John, word by word in the Greek. A couple of us may be leading it. It'll be kind of cool. That's proclaiming. That's proclaiming the gospel and the word of God. We're going back to the original languages and going to help you to study it that way. Ought to be an intense time. It's called HD because high definition. Come look at the scripture in a way you've never seen it before. That's what's going on. And this word proclaim fits in with what the real objective is of HD study. It means to preach. You've taken notes. It means to announce with clarity, in this case, the Messiah. It means to explain. If you're taking notes, these are all good ones. To explain the real purpose of Christ, what he did, who he was. And it was making the connection. Listen, when you teach like this and you proclaim, you make the connection for people. Here was Jesus, here's what he did, and here's how he lived. And listen, I'm a big fan of history, if you know me at all. I love studying history. I love some of the great characters of history. And if I go back and I would tell you this morning all about Ben Franklin, which I could probably do, and just list all the facts for you, when I'm done with that, you would sit there and go like this. Whoop-de-doo. So what? Mike, you know a lot of facts about Ben Franklin. Woo-hoo! That's not what we're talking about here. This kind of teaching is teaching for connection. Teaching not just the facts, but the personal connection. And the personal connection here is the fact that Jesus came from heaven and Jesus lived this holy life. Jesus eventually ended up on a cross sinless and took on our sin to make the payment for us. Jesus did that so he could have a relationship with us, which fosters our going to heaven forever. You getting any idea here? The connection is that Jesus had to live like that to make the connection with me personally still 2,000 years later. Now, I'm going to say this, not to offend anybody who might be visiting, but we went through a lot of years here in the church where this teaching erupted that we're going to do lifestyle evangelism. And I got to tell you, I agree with a lot of it. The fact that when I go wherever I am, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to work my job. I'm going to have the kind of friendships and recreation that people are going to look at. And they're going to go, wow, that's different. And I'm going to show Jesus by people Jesus by my lifestyle. Now I look back at it in retrospect, I have two words for that. You want to write this down? No duh. No duh. I'm supposed to live different because of Jesus. But lifestyle evangelism says I'll show them Jesus by the way I live. And the thing that was critically wrong with this was they didn't emphasize the fact that once you've got to that point, you've got to what? You've got to make the connection and tell them about Jesus. I need to proclaim with clarity who Jesus was and who he will be in your life. And that's what Stephen went down to do. In fact, the basic purpose of any ministry, any ministry or missionary, hold it, or pastor, or church, hold it, or anybody who professes Jesus Christ is to be about proclaiming this, preaching and explaining Jesus Christ as the Messiah. You start with your actions. You show them that you're different. And then you open your mouth. Bleh. Open your mouth and let them know why you're acting the way you're acting. And you do it unashamedly. And if you do it right, from what I see with Stephen, he got whacked. And if you do it right, it could cost you your job. And it could cost you your place in your neighborhood, the way people think about you. And you know what I say to that? So be it. Because that's what you're called to do. Got that? So it lets me say this here at the end of your first point there. A question. Am I intentionally about proclaiming, preaching, announcing, explaining Jesus Christ, hold it, where He has strategically placed me in His wisdom? My friends, my situation, my work, my relatives, my, that nobody else shares with me, it's just me. Am I about doing that in the situation He's put me? Look at your second point. It comes from verse 12. Let me read verse 12 to you. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. He preached the good news. I put point number 2, do I proclaim the kingdom of God? You know, I understand kingdoms. I think you do too. A kingdom is this. A kingdom is a landmass or a country or a continent. Let's just say a country. And it has a leader. Just raise your hand if I'm going too quick for anybody, okay? And you would say this. That's a kingdom. Might be the United States or another country. Doesn't matter. It's a landmass that is that country and culture. And it has a leader. That's a kingdom. I understand that. But here's the concept of the New Testament which we don't understand or talk much about. And that's this. The earthly thinking is a landmass and a leader. But when I talk about the kingdom of God, I'm talking about every single thing that's been created that I can see and not see. And that's in the seen world. And I'm talking, go big. I'm talking about the stuff that can't be seen. I'm talking about the whole realm of everything created in the seen and the unseen world. That is the kingdom of God. It's big. And spiritually, we need to get this. We need to understand the whole kingdom of God. You need to understand what God's in charge of, what He created, what He reigns over. And to understand this, listen carefully. If I understand the beginning of Hebrews, it says this, that without Jesus sustaining all of this, it goes to dust. If He didn't sustain this, it's done. That He literally is upholding it and sustaining it. Get the right image of everything you see out there and hold it, and everything you don't see out there. The unseen world. That's scary because I can't see it. And that's what's scary about it, because it could be all around me doing stuff, but I can't see it. Get the idea? He's Lord and Creator and in control of that. And it's ruled by Him and His power and His strength and His word and His grace. It is there for His glory. There is absolutely nothing that can stand against God of any of these kingdoms or any of these seen and unseens. And the fact of the matter is creation exists to proclaim the fact that God is God and that He's Lord over everything. Read your Bible, get to the end of Revelation, and you will see that every single thing about creation in the seen and the unseen world declares Jesus Christ and the glory of God. That's where it all goes for the rest of eternity. Get the picture. And now that you've got that big image, let me take it right down to here. That same God who could do all that stuff personally created me. And you might not like what you're looking at right now, right? You might not like what you're looking at right now, but the truth of the matter is this. The truth of the matter is God created this for His purpose and His glory. And He put this person, Mike, in a place that nobody else is in. It's my place. And it's here that I represent Jesus Christ and glorify Him until He decides that time is up. And then I go to be with Him. I say this, I've said this a dozen times, and I mean it. I used to go like this. I think I've got this much time left. Well, don't help me, Ed, okay? Don't even begin to help me with the illustrations, okay? But I really think now it's... Am I going too large here? that about right? I think. I got to drive home. Traffic. You know, okay, it could be. You get the idea, though, right? I got and you got, and I hate to say it, these little guys got that much time left to serve Jesus Christ in the time we have here and to glorify Him. And then that's it. And if I look at my life like that, nothing else really matters. And nothing else is the priority. Because this God of the universe wants to have a relationship with me and wants to be the Lord of me. And He is. In my personal life. In the depths of me. And because of that being true, I've got significance and purpose. Because if you thought about... Hey, listen, if I told you this, you know what? The president's coming to your house this afternoon. He's got a special job for you. And he's going to give you special paperwork. Go home, put a suit and tie on. I might actually comb my hair. No comments there either, okay? And so I'm going to get all... Hold it. I'm going to take a shower. This is going to be great because the president's coming. He's got a special job for me. And I would be calling all you three different times. Ooh, we're going to take pictures. Come on over. It's great. The God of the universe has come to me in Jesus Christ and says, I got a mission for you. Let's go do this mission. I'll empower you. I'll put you there. I'll strengthen you. I'll keep you. And when you're done, you'll come back to be with me forever. Where do I sign? Get the idea? It's fantastic. I got a question for you at the end of the second point here. Am I conscious of the kingdom of God in my everyday life? And am I intentional about sharing with those around me the fact that I am about God's kingdom and the things of Him? And I even say this. Am I intentional about letting people know that I'm owned by Him? I'm dominated by Him. Third point also comes from this verse. And it's again a question. Do I proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ? The good news was the name of Jesus Christ. Listen. The good news was the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other name like that that's holy. There's no other name like that that's got power. No other name matches it. The name is the Lord Himself, Jesus Christ. And you know what? When I accepted Jesus into my life and prayed that prayer, that's when the fight started. You ready? Put them up, okay? Because this burly guy is willing to take you on, Lord. Here we go. Because, rudely, He came into my life and He started telling me what I needed to do. Rudely, I'd read the Scripture and I'd get convicted about something I should stop thinking, stop saying, stop joking around, stop this. My goodness. And then a whole list of you got to add this and add this and add this. But I'm not naturally that way. It doesn't matter. You be this way. And lo and behold, I started to grow in Jesus Christ. And it changed all my priorities. In fact, it's gotten to the point in my life, and yours too, if something cannot come under the name of Jesus Christ and be honoring to Him, it has to go. Never thought I'd get to that place. So I think I enjoyed a lot of stuff that maybe I shouldn't. But you know what? If something can't come under and exist under the name of Christ and bring Him glory, then it has to go. And that name of Jesus Christ was so powerful, it liberated me from my past, just like it did from you. And it liberated me from the penalty of my sin. That name of Jesus Christ freed me, gave me release, and also gave me an eternal relationship with the God and Creator of, hold it, the entire universe, seen and unseen, all through Jesus Christ and no other name. When the people here in Samaria heard this word, they believed and they went on to be baptized. Tremendous results. Question at the end of your third point is this. Is it your intention every day in every situation to preach the name of Jesus to those around you who desperately need that same relationship, listen, that you have with Him? That you have with Him. And I would say this as I wrap this up real quick. Have you come to realize this yet? Just think with me for a minute. Stay on the point. Have you come to realize that the majority of people that you run into in this life, maybe even family members, neighbors, etc., do you realize that most of them don't know Christ? And do you know if I push the clock up another 100 years, those people who don't know Christ go to hell? And I'm with them right now, strategically put there. Let's pray. As you bow your head this morning, we've all been put on, each of us, on a ministry path. That very thing that God has called me to do, which has begun with the foundation of that relationship with Jesus, and now He actually wants to use me. Wow. He actually wants me to act for Him and speak for Him. Wow. And He wants me to share what He's accomplished in my life, also that some of the people that I know would actually too believe in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question this morning as we wrap up the last 2 weeks here about our summer emphasis. Are you about the business of explaining and announcing Jesus Christ? Is that something that you do routinely? Is it something that you feel you should be doing? Can you think of somebody right now who really needs to hear that from you? As you seek to portray the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, as you seek to bring them glory. Right now, why don't you think of somebody who you know who doesn't know Jesus? Would you think of that person right now? That couple, those couple of friends, whoever it may be, even a relative, brother, sister, mother, father. Would you think of them right now? And would you pray for them that God would give you the opportunity to share and preach, proclaim, explain Jesus Christ to them? Would you pray that way right now? Our Father, you hear the people's names who were just brought to you, and I too would bring them together as a group. And I would say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, give us opportunities to share very boldly, to explain with clarity, to proclaim, to preach. Father, open that door that we might truly share the real life of Jesus Christ, the one that we have, so that they can have it too. And Father, we will thank you for those results. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.